Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the CAE fourth quarter conference call. Please be advised that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Andrew Arnovitz. You may now proceed, Mr. Arnovitz.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. Before I begin, we'll need to read the following. Certain statements made during this conference, including but not limited to statements that are not historical facts, are forward-looking and are subject to important risks, uncertainties, and assumptions. These include statements about our activities, events, and developments that we expect to or anticipate may occur in the future, including, for example, statements about our vision, strategies, market trends and outlook, future revenues, capital spending, expansions and new initiatives, financial obligations, and expected sales. By their nature, forward-looking statements require us to make assumptions that are subject to inherent risks and uncertainties associated with our business, which may cause actual results in future periods to differ materially from results indicated in forward-looking statements. While these statements are based on management's expectations and assumptions regarding historical trends, current conditions, and expected future developments, as well as other factors that we believe are reasonable and appropriate in the circumstances, listeners are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, as there is a risk they may not be accurate. Except as required by law, we disclaim any intention or obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. The forward-looking information and statements contained in this presentation are expressly qualified by this cautionary statement. You'll find more information about the risks and uncertainties associated with our business in our fourth quarter fiscal 2014 MD&A and our annual information form for the year ended March 31, 2013. These documents have been filed with the Canadian Securities Commissions and are available on our website at cae.com and on SEDAR. They have also been filed with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission under Form 40-F, and are available on EDGAR. Forward-looking statements in this conference represent our expectations as of today, May 15, 2014, and accordingly are subject to change after this date. On the call with me this afternoon are Marc Parent, CAE's President and Chief Executive Officer, and Stéphane Lefebvre, our Chief Financial Officer. After comments from Marc and Stéphane, we will take questions from financial analysts and institutional investors. Following the conclusion of that Q&A period, we will open the call to members of the media. Let me now turn the call over to Marc.
Thank you, Andrew, and good afternoon to everyone joining us on the call. I'll first take a few minutes to review some of the highlights of the quarter and for the year, and then Stéphane will provide a more detailed look at our financial results. I'll conclude the formal portion of the call by talking about the way forward. I'm pleased with our performance in the fourth quarter and the overall progress we've made during the year. Our operational discipline and customer focus continue to drive positive results in terms of higher profitability, and we continue to lead in a competitive market. In the last half of the year, we reached the key performance milestones in civil and military that we provided in our outlook. And we set new records with $2.1 billion of annual revenue and $4.2 billion order backlog. We also had good cash performance this year with 105% conversion of net income to free cash flow, which gave us the ability to further strengthen our already solid balance sheet. In civil, we're back on track with operating margins in the high teens for the second half and nearly 18% in the fourth quarter. We continue to ramp up recently deployed assets in our training network, as well as simulators that had been moved to new locations. We had fewer simulator moves during the quarter, and while there's still relocations remaining to be completed, the vast majority are now behind us. The higher margin in the quarter comes from our ongoing operational improvements, higher volume, and the seasonally strong Q4. Training utilization increased from 69% last quarter to 71% this quarter. We're proud to have reached an all-time record of 48 full-flight simulator sales this year, which included 8 in the fourth quarter for long-standing customers such as Southwest Airlines and Lufthansa Flight Training. The face of the competition has changed quite a bit over the last couple of years. In that context, our continued market leadership is testament to the strength of the CAE brand, which is synonymous with technology leadership, quality and reliability, and best-in-class customer support. We strive to be our customers' partner of choice, and they value the fact that we're the only company of our kind solely dedicated to their simulation-based training needs. Together with long-term training and services agreements with airlines and operators in Europe and the Americas, we received $350 million in civil orders this quarter for a book-to-sales ratio of 1.08 times. This enabled us to reach a new record $2.2 billion of civil backlog. In military, the challenges for the industry involving defense budget constraints and sluggish procurements are well known. In that context, we've been communicating the ways our military business is unique in terms of the intrinsic benefits of simulation-based training, the range of geographies we serve, and the enduring platforms that make up most of our business. Owing to these three CAE-specific attributes and our solid backlog, we remained resilient, with fourth quarter revenue increasing by 6% and full-year revenue by 2%. We've been executing a strategy to develop more revenue sources involving long-term, recurring contracts. The military operating margin was 12.2% this quarter, reflecting the mix of business for the period. Trailing 12-month results usually give a better picture of military performance, and for the year as a whole, military's operating margin was 13.1%. This is where we expect it to be on average at current volume levels. In terms of new business, we booked orders during the quarter for four more P-8A operational flight trainers for the U.S. Navy, which is a prime example of the kind of enduring platforms that underlie our business. We also saw more demand for upgrades globally on the C-130 Hercules, another key enduring platform for CAE. We also signed long-term training support and maintenance services contracts in Germany and in Malaysia, and we continue to expand our platform coverage with contracts for a comprehensive ground-based training system for the T-6C aircraft for the Royal New Zealand Air Force and the Mexican Air Force. We also sold an SW-4 helicopter full-flight simulator to the Polish Air Force. In total, we received $189 million in military orders this quarter, representing a book-to-sales ratio of 0.82 times. Fourth quarter military backlog was $2 billion. And in addition to that, we had another $407 million of unfunded backlog. Looking now at new core markets, in CAE Healthcare, we continue to invest in the development of new products and in broadening our sales capabilities. We introduced our new maternal fetal simulator earlier this year, and we already have 40 of them in advance of production that have been pre-sold. Also in healthcare, we booked product sales with universities and hospitals in the UK, the US, and the Middle East for a range of solutions, including our ultrasound, surgical, and patient simulators, as well as our sensor management systems. In CAE Mining, we sold resource modeling and mine planning systems to customers globally. With that, I'll now turn the call over to Stefan.
Thank you, Mark, and good afternoon, everyone. Consolidated revenue for the quarter was up 3% year-over-year at $583.4 million, and net income attributable to equity holders was $60 million, or 23 cents per share. For the year, Revenue was $2.1 billion, up 4%, and net income was $191.1 million, or 73 cents per share. We had very good cash performance in the quarter and for the year, with $200.6 million of free cash flow generated to the end of March, which is $117.1 million higher than last year. The improvement came mainly from favorable changes in non-cash working capital and an increase in cash provided by our operating activities. Fourth quarter capital expenditures totaled $65.7 million, and for the year, it was $157.4 million, which is in line with our outlook. Growth capital expenditures represented 71% of total CapEx this year. Net debt was $856.2 million as at March 31, 2014, compared to $886.5 million at the end of December, further strengthening our balance sheet with our net debt to capital ratio decreasing to 36.6%. Income taxes this quarter were $10 million, representing an effective tax rate of 14%, which compares to 19% last quarter and 8% last year. The decrease from last quarter was mainly due to the favorable settlement of tax audits, an adjustment resulting from future changes in the statutory tax rates for Germany, the UK, and Norway, as well as a change in the mix of income from various jurisdictions. Excluding the effect of the changes in tax rates and the settlement of tax audits, the income tax rate for the quarter would have been 21%. Now looking at our segmented financial performance. For Civil, fourth quarter revenue was $323.5 million, stable year over year. Operating income for the quarter was up 14% year over year to $58 million, owing mainly to operational improvements realized over the course of the year, as well as higher volume and utilization. This represents an operating margin of 17.9%. For the year, Civil revenue was up 5% at $1.2 billion, and operating income was 5% lower at $179.8 million for a margin of 15.3%. In military, fourth quarter revenue was up 6% year over year at $230.3 million. Operating income for the quarter was stable year over year at $28 million for a margin of 12.2%. For the year, military revenue was up 2% at $822 million, and operating income was stable at $107.8 million for a margin of 13.1%. This reflects the operational improvements we made over the prior year. Finally, looking at new core markets, revenue was $29.6 million for the quarter compared to $29 million in the fourth quarter last year. Operating income was $200,000 compared to $1.8 million last year. For the year, new core markets generated revenue of $116.2 million, up 4% over last year. Operating income was $4.2 million compared to $6.4 million last year. Revenue growth and profits have been somewhat constrained by current market conditions in the mining sector. As well, we've continued to invest profits back into healthcare's SG&A and new products with a view to a larger business in the future. Before we move on, I want to mention that starting with our first quarter 2015 report, we will report our segments to reflect the way we manage our business, which is solutions-oriented with customers requiring a mix of both products and services. Beginning in August, we will report on our three core businesses, specifically defense and security, civil simulation and training, and healthcare and mining. We have, in fact, already been providing financial disclosure and outlook on this basis in our MD&A for a number of years. And in order to ensure continuity, we will continue to report on key operational metrics that we believe are the most relevant drivers of our business. With that, I'll turn the call back over to Mark.
Thanks, Stéphane. Our progress in fiscal 2014 positions us well for the period ahead, and we have a positive outlook for each of our three core businesses. In civil, we expect to continue to lead the market, and we anticipate more growth as we work our way through our record backlog. We expect higher utilization in our training centers on higher demand and the ramp-up of new and redeployed simulators in the network. The commercial aerospace cycle remains strong with robust air travel growth and high levels of aircraft deliveries coming off manufacturers' production lines. We see strong demand for our training solutions in North America, improving demand in Europe, and stable demand in the emerging markets. Taken together, we are in a prime position globally as the market leader within a highly regulated industry. In military, our key success factors, including our multi-year backlog involving enduring platforms, our geographic reach, and the intrinsic value of simulation-based training, all remain highly relevant as we go forward. Notwithstanding the challenges in the mature defense markets, we're continuing to build our bid pipeline with a wide range of comprehensive programs in both defense and security. We continue to find opportunities involving enduring platforms like the P-8, C-130, and MH-60, and we expect to continue to add new platforms to our order book. Our military business has proven to be resilient through some challenging market conditions, and as we consider our market position and the unique nature of CAE's business, we expect to continue to be resilient and deliver good performance for the year as a whole. In new core markets, notwithstanding the cyclical downturn in the mining sector, we expect to see growth, mainly in the second half, as we release new products like the maternal fetal simulator. We now have a leading position in a healthcare simulation market that has historically been limited to medical education. We believe that, like in aviation, future regulations will see the use of simulation-based training expand beyond education and into the clinical domain in order to help improve the quality of patient outcomes. We look forward to a larger market opportunity to come. To recap, we had a good quarter and a good year in terms of achieving our operational and strategic milestones. We forecast civil margins to reach the high teens in the second half of the year, and they did. We expected military to be resilient in the face of a challenging defense market, and it was. We maintained our market leadership in the face of sharper competition, and we booked record full-flight simulator sales with a record backlog for the company overall. And we stayed true to our capital allocation priorities. We continue to invest in market-led growth opportunities with attractive return profiles. We increased cash returns to shareholders with a dividend increase for the third year in a row last August, and we deleveraged our balance sheet with net debt to capital now at an even lower level than we originally targeted. So to conclude, our progress in fiscal 2014 puts us in an even stronger position, and I look forward to more success in fiscal 2015. We continue to expect solid growth for CAE overall, with strong market conditions in civil, continued resilience in military, and the resumption of growth in new core markets. Thank you for your attention, and we're now ready to take your questions. Andrew?
Operator, we'd now be pleased to take questions from analysts and institutional investors. Before we open the lines, let me first ask that in the interest of fairness, please limit yourself to a single one-part question. And if you have additional questions after that, as time permits, please feel free to re-enter the queue. Operator, we'll take the first question, please.
Certainly. And before proceeding, once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, it is the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone keypad. And we'll proceed with our first question. It is from the line of Steve Arthur from RBC Capital Markets. Go right ahead.
Great. Thank you very much. Just wanted to follow up on the civil margins, 17.9% in the quarter, big improvement and essentially delivered on what you were targeting over the past number of quarters. I guess looking ahead, when we look at the utilization rates and the demand environment, do you foresee things sustainable at that level? Is there further room for improvement? And where do you see these things trending over the kind of 3 to 5 year time frame?
Well, I think there's definitely further improvement possible. I don't think that we, as I said in my notes, Steve, that the utilization is improved, but I think there's room to go higher than it is currently. I mean, maybe a useful fact is we're at 71% for Q4. If you were to look at a 10-year average for utilization in the fourth quarter, you'd see 73%, just as an idea, just normal kind of seasonal trends. You would expect 2% just when we look back at Q4. So I definitely see some more potential of increased utilization. We see the demand is there for that. At the same time, we have simulators that we recently deployed and moved to new locations that have started to ramp up, but they're not finished ramping up in a lot of cases. There's still room to grow. So I think, look, I think we'll definitely see. If I look at the year as a whole in civil, we had 15%, and I definitely think that we'll be seeing higher average margin for the year, year as a whole, and I think we'll see higher peak margins. You know, it'll be seasonal because, you know, if you look at utilization, for example, in the summer, usually trails off because people are flying and they're not training, and that's the time we shut off we close down the factory. That's just one example there. But on average, I think we'll see a higher margin for the year, and we should see higher peak margins as well.
Okay. If the utilization kind of hits historical levels, would you have any kind of a target margin level for the civil business, say, I don't know, 3 or 4 years out?
Not one that we could really say right now, Steve. I think it'll be higher for sure. I think previously, I think that we've said is that peak margins at the top of the market, when things are batting on all cylinders, including business aircraft being back, I think we've given an outlook before that we thought 19% was possible. You know, when we factor in the dilution by, you know, our park aviation business there. But I think my feeling right now is we'll be going higher than that, just on the basis that in this quarter here we just achieved 17.9. So I think it stands to reason we should be able to hit peak margins better than that, and sustainable margins on average better when you look as a whole.
That's good color. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And we'll proceed with our next question. It is from the line of Cameron Berkson from National Bank Financial. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Good afternoon. Just before I ask my question, if I could just get the utilization rate in the network for the full year.
71%, right?
No, it's 68%
full year. Oh, yeah, 68% full year, Cameron.
Okay. So, you know, my question is just on the military, looking at the training and services military specifically, had a very good revenue number in that in the quarter, quite a bit higher year over year. I'm just wondering if there was any specific program that kicked in that was to drive that, and, you know, what we should look from, you know, that sub-segment of military as we look ahead to 2015.
Well, maybe I'll just turn it over to Stefan for more specifics, but there are specific programs that you see ramping up there. You know, one, I'll give an example, the Predator program, which is one example that we signed there last year. We got the ongoing KC-135 contracts. We have some military joint ventures that are contributing to that. But I think what you're seeing there is we've been talking for a while about our focus on long-term recurring training and services contracts. We're focused on getting that, and as we go get, you know, pitch both in civil and military, we're trying to get solutions that involve a lot of services. But that's where you see the pickup. I know, Stefan, you want to add it?
No, I think you said it. They're all related to some specific contracts that Mark mentioned. We used to see I remember the time when we used to see about $60 million a quarter in that side of the business, then 65. I think what we see is just that business ramping up. What it tells me is that we're becoming more of a service business in military by strategy, but as well, this is these are in line with the trends that we see on the marketplace. And as Mark said, what I like about it is it gives more visibility on future revenue, and it positions us well for future updates on platforms.
Yeah, that's a key point that's important, I think, to note is part of a solution strategy is when you're civil and military, if you can get in and deliver services revenue, and sometimes you have to, especially on the military, what you see is you tend to see lower margins in that sector, but I think we've got to look at it in the big picture is once you're now with the customer, you can drive revenues coming out of products because they need to update the simulators and things like that, and we're definitely seeing those kind of trends.
Right. Great. That's very good. Thanks very much.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Proceed to our next question. It is from the line of David Newman with Cormark. Go right ahead.
Hi, guys. Just maybe first a quick housekeeping one, then I'll ask my question. Just on the tax side, was there anything at one time in nature on the quarter with the audits or whatever, and what should we be thinking about using going forward on the on the effective tax rate?
Yeah, there was actually, David, and we put it in the MD&A. We've concluded, we know that we always have a number of tax audits going on in the different parts of the world. We successfully concluded two of them in the quarter in Germany and in Canada, so that gave us a 3.4 million uptake in the specific to the quarter.
Okay, very
so
good.
That's why. Sorry,
go ahead, Stefan.
No, that's why you saw this 14% tax rate in the quarter. Now, I guess we were going forward.
Yeah.
I think what I see, look, normalizing the tax rate for Q4 as well as for the year, we get to about 21%. And I saw in the last number of quarters the tax rate being quite volatile, but I used to use 25% internally here. I think with the way as the business has performed in the past year, given that we see some growth in the U.S. And as well as the markets picked up in Europe, places where we tend to have higher tax rate jurisdictions. So I don't think that 21% is necessarily a good proxy, but we're probably lower than 25% right now. So 22-23% is probably a good number to use.
Excellent.
It'll vary from quarter to the other, David.
Okay, that's good color. And just on the civil sim manufacturing side, you know, the margins were pretty good. Obviously, the training, you had a great quarter. The civil sim manufacturing was looked a little bit softer to me. Is there anything going on there? You talked about partially manufactured sims, et cetera. But given the higher orders and that you had, and I would assume production rates to increase your absorption, anything at play here? Is the pricing from the competitors, has pricing become more difficult? Or anything at all that's a play in the civil sim side?
I think that it's Mark here. I think it's what you're seeing is normal mix, and in that normal mix is obviously some contracts that we had lower pricing. We talked about that previously about that there has been pressure on pricing, which I think is more sensible now. So you're seeing some of that, but I think to me I wouldn't say it's a disproportionate effect. And I think, we factor that in, and we have been factoring that in. It's not unexpected because, obviously, these SIM orders are in our backlog. It's not orders that we got last week. So that's been factored into the outlook that we've given for the civil margins to be in the high teens by the end of the year. And it's also factored into the outlook I gave in the first question there to Steve Arthur.
Okay, I just want to squeeze a quick one in here. Next year, can we expect the production rates to go up, Mark? Or
we really don't talk in terms of production rate. I'd rather just look at the revenue, and the reason for that is that there's the higher number of new aircraft involved in the backlog, and also multi-year contracts, and sometimes multi-year contracts. First of all, if you look at orders on the 350, well, 350 is still in development. The people are ramping up their receipt of aircraft and their ergo simulators. So it's hard to talk in terms of production line, like, for example, an aircraft manufacturer would. But clearly, I think the level of revenue you see now is more in line. I think it'll vary seasonably, and I think you'll see it gradually going up.
Very good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. We'll get to our next question. It is from the line of Turan Kitawala from Scotiabank. Go right ahead with your question.
Yes, good afternoon. I guess my question on the military side, I think about a year or so ago, Stefan, you had talked a little bit about improvement in military margins. I think you had said about 200 basis points on the restructuring, and then more, I guess, if revenue came back. On an annualized basis so far, your margins are pretty much flat here. So I guess my question is, should we expect some improvement in margins here on the military side in fiscal 15? And then considering the revenue is trending up a little bit, does that actually accelerate the improvement?
That's true, Turin. It really, the way I look at it is, you're right, we've executed our restructuring program last year, and at one point we generated margins that were quite low. And I remember in the second quarter of last year we went as low as, I think, around 10% or something like that. And I said as our restructuring program goes through, you should see about 200 basis points of improvement in margin. And that's pretty much where I think we're at right now. We have a portfolio in our hands that's probably running at 12, maybe 13% margin as of now. What we would need to where we could see some meaningful improvement is in margin is some additional orders coming on the equipment side of the house. Just looking at the year as a whole, we generated 13.1% EBIT margin in military, and that's an improvement from the EBIT margin that we had last year. We generated, if I recall, 12.5% normalizing for some of the one-time benefit that we disclosed to you guys last year. So we saw some improvement in margin. And I think we're at 12-13% right now. There will be some ups and downs depending on the quarter. You see that this is a business that's quite lumpy from quarter to quarter. It could be 100 to 200 basis points up and down. But I think where we landed for the year is a reflection of the portfolio that we have in our hand.
So I guess in the near term, then, there's not really any significant margin improvement coming on the military side. Is that fair?
Look, it will really depend on the equipment orders that will come in, Turin. I think Mark mentioned it earlier. We are positioned well on a number of programs, especially we're some position in training services. So as updates and new programs come in, then we could start seeing some improvement in margins.
Yeah, I would add to that. I think that's why I think you got to take what I said, resilient, and I think that speaks in terms of top and bottom line. So I guess that implies stability in terms of margin. You could expect that, but as Stefan was saying, it's highly dependent on order intake, because in the end, and that's why I say higher as possible. There's no doubt about that. But at this point in time, we'll stick with resilient, as we have for all of this year.
Okay, thank you very much. And if I could just quickly sneak in one more here on the cash side, like the cash generation has been pretty strong here. The balance sheet, I guess, is coming in. If I look at the numbers and the net debt to cap is coming in below your targets now. So really looking quite good, I would say. I know you've raised the dividend. Is there anything else you could talk about with regard to cash return to shareholders?
Not at this time. We've said it before that Turan, that we would be open to looking at various possibilities. I mean, dividends. I mean, as you've seen it, we've increased it, three times in the last 3 years. And although we don't have a policy, I mean, you can see by our actions that we seem to be happy with a certain level of payout and yield. So I think, you know, probably that's reasonable to expect that we might consider that again if the conditions are right. And we said we might be open to do other things like buybacks, but we don't have a normal course issue right now, and you know, we'd have to bring that to our board of directors, and we're not there at the moment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And we'll get to our next question. It is from the line of David Tyerman from Canaccord Genuity. Go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Quick question on the military side. Your backlog's been flat in sort of the $2 billion area for, I think, about 4 or 5 years now, which would suggest to me that the sales are likely to remain flat unless you're going to see a sudden pickup in orders. Is that a fair way of thinking of things?
Not totally, because what you're not seeing there is, I think Stefan, you can highlight as JVs. I think that effective JV. But I think the more important one is you're probably not factoring in there is the unfunded backlog, and we did highlight the number there in my notes there, that what the unfunded backlog number is, and you're probably. What, 20% of our number? So, and what we mean by unfunded backlog, just to clarify it again, is mainly contracts involving, service contracts we do with the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Predator contract. Well, that's a multi-year contract. And at any one time, we'll only put in backlog the revenue we anticipate for the year that we're in, for the sole reason that the U.S. government approves their budget once a year. As we saw, you know, last year when they didn't vote the budget and, you know, they had basically shut down the museums and other places. So we're conservative and we don't include that. But the reality is the unfunded backlog turns into revenue. Our experience on that is, you know, must be 99%.
Right. Okay. So just to recap this, then it sounds like you do expect some growth when you take into account both the funded and unfunded.
Well, as I said before, I think that I'll sound like a broken record here. I remain focused on being resilient. That's as far as I can see this year. I mean, the backlog involves long-term training contract. We see the increase in revenue there this year. That's pretty significant, and I think we have. There's no doubt that we have to continue to win orders every year, no matter what size our backlog is. You know, we have to feed the beast, and I'm confident that we can, and that might imply growth as well, but it will. It's always sensitive to the orders you get in a year, and I really don't have any more visibility beyond the next 2 or 3 quarters to be able to tell you whether or not we'll have growth or not, at least to a sensible version, a sensible number to be able to commit to.
Okay, very good.
Well, what I do know is that the pipeline of opportunities that we're bidding is as large as it's ever been, and our win rate is good. Now, sometimes what you can't control is the timing. Timing tends to move, you know, more often right than left. So I think we're being safe by saying that in this times, you know, in this environment, I think, as we said all year, and I think we turned out pretty not bad this year, will be, to my mind, I'm focusing on get the book to bill as high as we can, and that should translate into resiliency at least this year.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we'll get to our next question. It's from the line of Anthony Scilopodi from Veritas Investments. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, or good afternoon, I should say. Sorry. I was, if I understand correctly, the disclosure is going to change, just so we're clear. So then there'll be basically three segments, and so civil will be both products and training, military products and training, and then Nucor. Is that how we should look at the business going forward?
Yeah, that's correct, Anthony. It's becoming more and more difficult for us to look at the variances on margins separately, product and services. We don't really manage the business this way anymore. you get to a point where I mean we offer so much bundled solution to customers, and we tend to offer certain pricing on product and other pricing on services, and it's just we really manage the business all together as a combined division. We don't have such a leader that runs a training services organization whatsoever. So we're really offering the full Bloom solution. The other thing, Anthony, is, and you'll be very familiar with this, is the since last year, fiscal year 14, what makes it even more difficult is to explain the volatility and the margin that's driven by the change in the accounting rules for JVs. And in certain quarter, and it was so obvious in Q3 of last year, for instance, there was quite a large amount of profit recognized in on the product side of the business that had to be eliminated on the service side of the business. And then when we turn around and explain the margins to our shareholder, it's really becoming more difficult to do so. But more importantly, we're aligning the reporting with the way we manage the business. Simple as that. The last thing I'll say, Anthony, is we will continue providing some operation-driven matrix. So we'll continue reporting on the number of full-flight sims that we sell. We'll continue providing all the same information on the number of sims in operation, the simulator equivalent unit, the utilization rates, so people don't lose visibility on those key operational matrix.
Okay, that's helpful, because I would say that's kind of the way you used to report. How many years, I can't remember now, 7 or so years ago was that way, and I would say your disclosure has been fantastic, so that's good that you keep that up. My question is, if you think about the business over the last even at least 1 year, and you look, but I could even go back too, and you think about the multiple, and I think this is sort of asking a question that everyone seems to be wondering, and that is, how do we look forward into the growth? Because you look at what the stock is trading today, both on a, with EPS being essentially flat when you adjust for the restructuring and EBITDA being essentially flat for the same adjustment, the stock has risen based on multiples. So the question is, what are we anticipating that's coming? I see the backlog, we see the business, and that maybe you can help us understand.
You want to take that, Stan? Okay.
I think, Anthony, when you look at the kind of multiple that people have today, there is an expectation of earnings in the future, and that's a given. We've been, in the last year, in fiscal 13, we've been really, with all the issues that we had, especially at the beginning of fiscal 14, with all the issues that we had at the beginning of fiscal 14, we really started off on a very difficult first half of the year, to a point where we started the year with really tough earnings. Especially in our civil business, and it's recovered in the second half of the year. Now, if you look for the year as a whole, then you look at the different businesses. As Mark said, and I'll just recap on this. On the civil side of the business, this is a market that's very strong. We see our margins continue to improve next year in fiscal 15 compared to fiscal 14. In military, this is the place where we have a little bit less visibility. But our earnings have been improving in fiscal 14 compared to fiscal 13. So I think that's where the expectations are, and the reason why people are using a high multiple.
Well, I think the other thing I would add is that in addition to what Stefan was saying is, if you look at to use a period that you talked about, Anthony, I mean, I think we're in a different place in terms of the market and, our fortunes within it. I mean, there was a time you know, we were trading, you know, for a long time around the $10 mark there. I forget what the multiple that was, but first of all, we're at trough earnings, and basically the thought was you looked at our revenues and our earnings in military in a tough market, and that was reducing, and people were wondering, well, where's that going? And I think we had to prove what we did is that because of the reasons of our differentiation within the military market, that this business is not going off a cliff. And I think we demonstrated that, and we continue to believe that's the case, and longer term, that the military is a growth business. I can't provide any more visibility than I did in the answering questions, but clearly, longer term, because just because of our position in the market, on the platforms we have, on the geographies we serve, and the fact that, you know, simulation-based training is a solution in a time of we're trying to maintain readiness in a budget-cut environment. So to me, that's one thing. Military is not going off the cliff. If anything, it's resilient, it's a growth story in the future. So there's something to be said about that in terms of when you look at the multiple. The bigger case, obviously, is the civil business. The civil business, I mean, it's a highly regulated industry. Arguably, there's never been a better time in history in the commercial aviation sector. We are a leader in the commercial aviation sector in both selling products and the largest player by far in the delivery of training services. And we've proven in both of them that even with what was a worry of people going back, just over the past year, that, you know, with all the increased competition, would CAE be able to maintain their leads and maintain an acceptable margin within that? And I think we've demonstrated we can, and when you look and you listen to our outlook, I think it's pretty clear that we think we can continue to do that. And on top of that, we think that we still have ways to go in terms of being able to increase the utilization in our training centers. And there's a, as we can see just in the results that we have, there's a high degree of leverage within when you throw some more utilization at the network of training centers that we have. So for all those reasons, and I think the last one is, you know, the cash utilization in the business, you've seen that we've been pretty clear on our capital allocation priorities, and we've stayed true to them, and we've delivered on them in terms of continuing to invest in growth, and there's more opportunities for us for accretive growth to increase the return on capital, which is another, you know, to throw more earnings at what we got, the business would be less capital intensive, all things being said, permit us to continue what we said in terms of cash returns to shareholders, and at the same time, it gives us a pretty conservative balance sheet. So I think for all those reasons, I think I'm no expert, you're an expert, maybe better expert at the multiples than I am, but when I look at our business, I think that we see a positive outlook that I think people are rewarding.
Okay, I think that's very helpful. Thanks very much.
Operator, we have time for maybe two more questions before we open the lines to the media.
Certainly. We'll proceed with our next question. It's from the line of Ron Epstein with Bank of America. Go right ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. It's actually Christine Lewog calling in for Ron this afternoon. Our question is with civil margins again. I guess when we look at the past year, what's done better than what you expected, and what really drove the outperformance in civil margins? Was it initial conservatism regarding your cost structure, or were there really better than expected market demand that drove all that outperformance?
I think it's a combination of all that, to be frank. I mean, I think our team, we have a new team led by Nick Leontidis, that came into place this year. And I think Nick and his team put the pretty aggressive marker out there from the margins that we had the fourth quarter. I mean, in the first quarter, we had a bit of we had issues at the time. We had self-inflicted issues about the number of simulators we'd moved and the disruption that we created in our own training centers. We had some issues with market demand in Europe and in South America. I think a lot of those issues have all resolved in a certain way incrementally. But I think the large part of it is just operational improvements and the fact that by stabilizing the simulators that we are moving, we've come almost pretty much to the end of these, moves of simulators. They start to not only they stop, costing us money just because of the cost of moving them, but they start earning revenue. So all of those factors have resulted in the numbers that we see, and they're slightly higher than we thought. We thought we'd maintain, get to the high teens, and we got 17.9. But certainly for the last half of the year, it meets our outlook of high teens.
Great. And if I can ask a second question, if that's all right. For fiscal year 14, it looks like CapEx for growth was about $111 million. Can you give us more color on what's kind of the big moving pieces there and then how we should think about CapEx, the cadence of CapEx going forward?
I think overall we finished the year with 157 of CapEx, and it's largely, I think 70% of that was growth CapEx, which is pretty much in line with the guidance that we had given, and that's really us having put in our network some simulators in certain regions where the demand for coming from some of our existing customers was there. Going forward, Christine, I think you'll see a very similar level of CapEx in fiscal 15. The mix may be a little bit different. There's some good opportunities for us in business aviation, so I think you'll see us continue to invest overall at a very similar level in 15 than 14, but maybe a little bit heavier on the business aviation side. And certainly, there's still some very good opportunities on the CAT side of our business.
Great, thank you.
Okay, operator, that is all the time we have for questions from members of the financial community. I would ask that you now open the lines for questions to members of the media.
Certainly. Once again, for the members of the media, if you'd like to ask a question, you can press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone keypad. Hey, Mr. Arnovitz, we seem to have no questions queued up at this time from the media.
Okay, well then we'll conclude the call at this point. I wish to thank all participants for joining us today and remind you that a transcript of today's call can be found on CAE's website shortly at cae.com.
Thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes conference call for today. We thank you for your participation as we disconnect your lines. Have a good day, everyone.